Hi, everybody. This is Dawn Mitchell, and welcome to Dawn of Sports. I am back from my trip in France and ready to roll. And this week, we have Tracy Perlman, executive producer at WCCO Television. And she not only overrides the news department, also sports. So you have a woman wearing so many different hats. And also, she's a visionary for LLS this year. You'll learn how you can donate to her cause and how you can support. And also, we're going to talk some sports as usual. Jim's at the Masters, so we'll get him on the phone as well. So stick around. We have a great podcast for you today.
Yes, welcome back to Dawn of Sports, starring Dawn Mitchell from Fox 9. We'd like to welcome our newest sponsor, Beta Bay Boat Club.
We have special guest in-house today, Tracy Perlman from WCCO. I'm actually in Augusta this week covering the Masters. I've been lucky to do this about 20 times for the Star Tribune. It's probably the best assignment I get. It's also very difficult to do podcasts down for you. For I to kind of get this ball rolling for this show, Dawn and Tracy will talk about everything in the world of sports here soon. I want to let you know that we're coming to you from the Aquarius Home Services Studio. I want to thank Rudy Luther Toyota and our other sponsors across the TalkNorth.com platform. Brandon Morton is our producer. And best way to listen, whether it's this show or any of the other shows you like in the network, please subscribe to your favorite podcast app. It's free. It's the easiest way to listen. All right. We are going to talk about a lot today. As Dawn always says, this isn't a women's sports show, but it is a show that highlights women's sports whenever possible. And man, we have the table set for us today. We have Caitlin Clark, maybe the greatest college basketball player of all time, going up against Dawn Staley, the best program in America, the best coach in America. Dawn might be on her way to be one of the greatest coaches of all time. I think she's probably already pretty close to being there. And that came after Friday night when Paige Beckers of Hopkins took on Caitlin Clark in the highest rated women's college basketball game of all time, but also a game that eclipsed, eclipsed every final, every NBA final game last year, every Masters final round since 2013, and so on and so forth. It was a huge societal victory, I think. So you guys start there. Tell me what you thought of the weekend of women's college basketball.
Well, you know, first of all, I just want to clarify something that kind of bugs me is when everyone's saying women's basketball is having a moment. I'm not happy. I don't know how you feel, Jim, and Tracy's making a face along with me. Like, it's not having a moment. I think people are finally waking up to it. They're finally realizing it. It's finally getting the attention. This isn't going away. And it didn't just appear on the doorstep yesterday, but with the icons that you just mentioned, Jim, I am so excited. When Dolly gave a shout out to Caitlin Clark, that classy shout out about how much she has done for the women's game and how she is the GOAT, that just goes to show how far the game has come. So I also think Dawn Staley's team was the better team. I mean, Caitlin Clark couldn't beat them all by himself, right, Tracy?
No, they were absolutely electric this entire season. Go undefeated to continue into the tournament. Dawn Staley is such a girl crush on her. She is such a great coach. She's such a great leader on and off the court. I also want to give a shout out to Tessa Johnson from St. Michael, Albertville.
Yes.
Exciting to watch, just a freshman too. And to get such an experience going into the tournament is incredible. And so, no, but as far as you said, women's sports is not, this isn't new. They didn't just like come onto the scene a year ago and, oh, hey, they can play basketball. No, they're playing exciting, fun basketball. It's fun to watch as a fan. And I think it's also fun to see people get excited about it.
And Jim, I know that you are a huge fan of the women's basketball game too. And we're spoiled in Minnesota, right? Lindsay Whalen, and then also with the Lynx, Simone Augustus is now going to the Hall of Fame. I mean, we have seen high-level basketball. Paige Beckers, Tessa Johnson now. You know, there's Madden Greenway. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are names that are going to continue to come out of here just like on the men's game. So it's not a moment. I just think finally people are seeing it. And it's fantastic to see the numbers come out. And You know what I also love, Jim, and you can debate me on this, and Tracy as well, when you're on Twitter and the game beforehand and everyone's going mad about that call in the UConn game, I'm like, this is where we've arrived, because this is what you want. You want people to be like, they got robbed. Paige Beckers of UConn got robbed, because that means you're invested in the game.
Yeah, and kudos to all the male athletes using their platforms to hype up the women's game. I haven't seen anyone talk about these men's games at all. And I went to the University of Kansas.
Except for me, but I have a vested interest.
Yes, I was going to say, and I went to the University of Kansas. So I, like, March Madness is my time to shine. And if I don't mention that I went to KU, you know, they take your degree away during this time of year.
Yes, so, that's true.
But for people to say, are you watching any games this weekend? And to know that they were talking about the women's games is huge. And that never happens.
Yes.
And this is earned. I wrote about this in the Star Tribune earlier this week. The women's game in college, listen, I love the NBA. I love the WNBA. In the NBA, I will never try to compare something just to drag down another sport. Loving women's college basketball doesn't mean I think less of the NBA. It's, the NBA is spectacular right now. We get to watch a great team every day. But what we're seeing in the college game is the women's game is far better than the men's game right now. You have better coaches. You have bigger personalities. You have more history makers. You have people who stay in school longer and build teams. I mean, you put Caitlin Clark, Paige Beckers, Juju Watkins, Cardoza, Angel Reese, put all those people up against the best men's players in college basketball. And the star power it's lopsided in favor of the women right now. The game is better. The stars are better. The coaches are better. And if the men's game were better right now, I would say that. And I would say the women have something, they have ground to make up. But it's not the case anymore. The women's game has surpassed the men's game.
You know you've made it when the opening monologue for Saturday Night Live is supporting the women's basketball and kind of fun, in a fun way, dissing the men, like who's on their teams, you know, that kind of thing.
Yep.
I don't want to call it a moment. I want to just say finally it has arrived to the level that it should. And now I'm hoping that, we've always seen women's tennis with Venus, Serena, the names littered in history about that. But hopefully now hockey and other sports to come will start making their way as well.
Yeah, and I think with the Olympic team having a lot of these names, we're going to see the WNBA continue to grow. I have a friend who's a season ticket holder for the Wolves. He cannot wait to get his Lynx tickets because he's going to see all these players come through.
Yeah.
So this is a huge opportunity that everyone is seizing.
And it's not just fathers who have daughters, you know, it's sometimes some hardcore guys that are like, you know, showing up, knowing when the games are, knowing the players, knowing their stats. So it's been really cool.
Yeah. If you love sports, you want a competitive game. It doesn't matter who's playing, whether it's your team or not. And that's exactly what this tournament has showed.
And, I thought it was funny, Jim, when people were saying, I wasn't ready for the crying Dawn with Dawn Staley. I just loved her showing a different side of her. I had the chance to interview her one-on-one when the Final Four was here a couple of years ago. And we, you know, two Dawns and we're laughing and joking around. And she is a spark plug. But to see that side of her, knowing that to do it with freshmen when... So many freshmen, I should say, when she didn't even think she would get there and just how they won. It was a good side of her to see.
I just love her. I love watching her coach. I love watching her talk. I love seeing her on the court and off. Like I said, I write a book. Let me read about it. I want more of that.
More and more.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And her team is, I think, 109-3 over the last three seasons. Whew. They won the title in Minneapolis against Paige, and they probably would have won the year that college basketball was canceled because of COVID. She's got three national titles. She easily could have had a fourth. And guess what? And you cited Tessa Johnson, she's got a couple of great freshman guards. Mm-hmm. She recruits the heck out of the place. She's also done a phenomenal job. And Gino did this too in Connecticut. Give him credit. Dawn has done an incredible job of promoting both her team and her sport in South Carolina. She is accessible. She isn't afraid to take on tough topics. She is very welcoming of media and fans. She's done pretty much everything as well as you can do it.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if we can jump sports for a little bit here. I also want to give a shout out. Jim, you knew I was going to do this. A shout out to the women's soccer from here. We were talking about Minnesota Aurora alumni. And I recently got back from my trip in France, and I did indeed go out to Stade Robin Bobin, Robert Bobin. So Stadium
say
Robert
that,
Bobin.
Say that again, please.
I gave you the Spanish art. It's Stade Robert Bobin. Stadium Robert Bobin, as we butcher it here in America. And Tiana Harris, who used to play for Minnesota Aurora, is playing professional now out in Paris for Fleury FC. There was a cloud following me. I'm not going to lie. It started raining during the game. Unfortunately, she wasn't playing that game because she was just out of concussion protocol, and they just wanted to give her one more day. So I got to sit with her and her brother, and my friends and I were there, and her team won, and they're in the playoffs now. And I just want to tell you, she's a native of Toronto, of Canada, and there are scouts from the Canadian national team watching her. So she is on their radar. So how cool would it be if she gets picked up by the Canadian national team and plays in the Olympics, which are in Paris? And so she's on the radar. So another frustrating thing for her because she wasn't playing that game, but she's right back into the swing of it. And I don't think these athletes get enough credit for being in a foreign country. She was telling me that her coach does it all in French. And I said, did you know French before you came over? She goes, no. Like, she's taking classes, and to hear her speak, for me, she sounded fluent. Her accent is fantastic. But she said sometimes when they change up the drill and I don't know it, all of a sudden I'm going one way and everyone's going the other. She's like, what happened? And they're like, oh, he changed it. She's like, but he refuses to do it in English. So, and she keeps working her way up despite any injuries, despite any communication issues, to the starting line to be one of their best players. So I am so proud of her. And so I just hope it continues. Yeah. She's got one more year on her contract out there.
Can I share some breaking Aurora news?
Oh, yes. Aurora moment.
We have a new sporting director and head coach for the Aurora, just announced this morning. Colette Montgomery is coming, and she's new to the club. I don't have much information on her other than her name.
Yes.
But we're really excited.
Sounds French.
I know, doesn't it? Yeah. Colette.
Colette. Well, welcome to her.
She's from Northeast University. She also ran the Edina Soccer Club for a while. She coached both men's and women's soccer at Northeast. So she's got local roots.
Yes.
She's got a variety of experience. She's replacing a great coach, but I would guess the way Aurora does things that they hired the right person.
Absolutely. I'm really looking forward to it this year.
Yeah.
And you know, you have to give Jessica Poole some kudos to, of course you want your coaches to stay, but to have an opportunity to go to the national program, you have to, but with short notice, she's amazing. She goes, hey, I've done this before when I was doing college basketball. So she was in that situation, but that's kind of pressure pack. So
yeah, they also have a Jayhawk joining the team this year. See, you guys, I have to do this. This is,
it's all right. I keep my shout outs to Boston College. We get Bill Guerin. We do that. So, I was really excited about that. Where'd you go?
Missouri.
Oh no, you're a Tiger. They have a very good,
but you know what? Here's the saving grace for this conversation, though. I don't really identify with my college the way people from Kansas do. So, I went to Allen Fieldhouse. It's probably
incredible.
The best basketball arena I've ever been to.
Yeah.
So I don't really feel a rivalry with Kansas. I kind of like Kansas.
No, I enjoy the rivalry. I actually have a really nice journalism t-shirt from the Mizzou Journalism School that says, my job is news.
Missouri has a journalism school?
I've heard.
I haven't quite heard that yet.
I'm trying to like not be a Northwestern grad who always tells you the first thing that, you know, hey, I went to Northwestern journalism school.
Yeah. Listen, I did not play sports in college. I went to the J school. So that is my sport, was getting through that.
That's impressive though.
Yes. It is a college sport.
You know?
Yeah.
For a person that did not have any kind of conflict with either of your schools,
yes,
it's impressive both ways.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Jim, what's your next topic?
So you know what? I think at this point, because I know you guys are going to have a great conversation and you don't need me, I'm going to kind of preview what my week is going to be like, and then I'm going to let you guys chat about anything else you want in the world of sports. I'm down at the Masters. The Star Tribune has been sending me down here most years since about 2005. I think it's about my 20th Masters. And so, you know, we don't really have a golf show on the network, so I'll use this as our golf segment. Just for anybody who hasn't gotten to come down here, It is spectacular. It is like one of the most beautiful places. I would always describe it as one of the most beautiful landlocked pieces of earth that I've ever been to. And it's going to be fascinating this week because you have the LIV golfers who sold out to join a tour that is doing absolutely nothing, are going to be in the same place as all the people who stayed with the PGA Tour who are seeing their tour suffer because all the LIV Tour golfers left. So there are going to be a lot of subplots as well as the usual great golf. So if you subscribe to Star Tribune, check out my stuff or subscribe to Star Tribune so you can check out my stuff, I would appreciate it. Let's hit one other topic before I let you guys roll here. We're talking about a lot of basketball. How excited or intrigued have you two been by this Timberwolves season?
Oh, it is so much fun. It is. I actually haven't gone for work. I've only gone as a fan this season, and it is so much fun. The energy downtown, the energy in the arena is unmatched. I think the last time I felt a buzz in that building was when KG came back, mm-hmm. 5 years ago or so. I'm loving it from a fan perspective.
You know, and I just love how the relationship between Finch and Ant, I just love that. Mm-hmm. And how everyone just seems to feed off each other. But you're right, it is not a quiet sit on your hands kind of crowd with the little golf clap, right? Mm-hmm. It is. I don't know. What's the word? Electric just doesn't even do it justice when they're rolling and they're having fun.
Yes.
And I think that's the key. The drama with the ownership, you know, you just have to roll your eyes.
Oh, it's in terms
fun. Of, right. Right.
Come on.
You'd be like, of course it wouldn't be a season with the Timberwolves without a little bit of drama. But so that is fun too. It's a little interesting to see, you know, how that all plays out, but it just shows that there's passion there too. So I have been loving this season. I'm a Rudy Gobert fan. I'm also so happy that they're still playing well when Cat gets hurt, you know, because before it'd be like, oh, hands in the air, here we go, the Minnesota, what was me? No. You know, it just seems someone steps up every night.
Yeah,
so
they're having fun. And it feels like the crowd is getting younger and younger and younger, too. I'm seeing more kids there, more people bringing their kids to games. It doesn't matter if it's late or not. And that, I think, adds a fun bit of nostalgia for those of us who grew up here in the 90s and were going to games when we were that age. And the fact that they've even like thrown back to the 90s, it just, all that energy has been fun. And these are players that you kind of want to rally around. They don't have a chip on their shoulder. They, like you said, they're having fun playing too, and they're holding themselves accountable, which I think is important. It's out of our hands. We can't help it if we win or lose.
And just from the sports perspective, I love that they're not blowing late leads.
Yeah.
Fourth quarter breakdown, you know, you're just like, woo, like you can kind of breathe when they're, mm-hmm. I'm not saying that they haven't given up any, you know, double digit leads and come back, but I'm just saying before they've just kind of broken the mold.
Yeah.
And I'm really enjoying that. Yeah. How about you, Jim?
Agreed. And this, you know, they've had one other great moment in franchise history, and that was the 2004 season and playoff run. That was a great team. And if Cassell had stayed healthy, they might have even gotten to the NBA Finals. This is different, though, because this is much more sustainable. That year, they had Sprewell and Cassell playing for new contracts. And after that year, when they didn't get them, they basically blew up the franchise. It led to the Garnett trade. It led to all kinds of terrible hires, terrible decisions, and put them in that situation where nobody wanted to go to the game. So this is different.
Yeah.
You know, of course, you know, everybody wants them to do well in the playoffs this year. But if they didn't, they'd come back and be contenders next year and the next year and probably the next year. This is a sustainable model. They have people locked into long-term contracts. They have star power. They have cohesion. They have a general manager knows what he's doing, a coach who knows what he's doing. So, yes, it's a big moment, but it's not just a moment. It is, as we're talking about women's basketball, it's mm-hmm. actually they've actually put things in place to be good for a number of years here. And I will conclude this segment with, you know, our FTG, Dawn.
Oh, an FTG. Jimmy's got one, huh?
And I'm going to stay with the Wolves as someone who started covering baseball on an everyday basis in 1993, met Alex Rodriguez when he was a rookie, and knows people who worked for all the teams that he played for. There's nothing more predictable than Alex Rodriguez having something go wrong trying to buy a team. I was talking to a Timberwolves executive I ripped on Rod when he first got involved here. I said, this ain't going to go well. And I had a Timberwolves executive say, come on, the guy's, he's changed, right? And I said, I got to see it to believe it. Now I don't believe it.
Jim.
And that's our FTG.
This is what I love about you. You give your opinions. We know how you feel about LIV Golf. And we know how you feel about A-Rod. So there you go.
Yes. There you go. I'll let you two.
My FTG is the LIV Golf, just to be in cohesion with you.
I was going to say, it's like the Real Housewives of Minneapolis, like the real coaches of the NBA. Like, I'm very involved in this season. I'm locked in. Friends who don't care about basketball want to know about the Metropolitan and how this is all coming down with A-Rod and where's Mark Lowry and what about Glenn Taylor and who's the bad guy? And I'm so here for all of it. And the pop culture moment the Twins are having, like for Naz Reid to show up at WrestleMania, towel.
I love Naz Reid.
Like it's,
I need that bumper sticker.
So
I don't use bumper stickers. Yeah. I just want it. Put it somewhere.
It's so fun. But yeah, I'm into all of it. And the A-Rod drama, I'll take it.
I just have to say, like, I didn't have great internet coverage when I was in France, unless I was either at the hotel or my friend's house where it was high speed. And I have to tell you, I couldn't reach out to any one of you here because you're all sleeping at the time difference. But when I saw that the press release from the Timberwolves and that last comment was, the Timberwolves are no longer for sale, I went, ooh!
And never will be.
Yep.
Ever.
It's like, and I am in Paris for this, but so I couldn't reach out to anyone. And my friends that I was with, they were like, who are the Timberwolves? So it didn't resonate. Like I was in my oneness over there, but I was like, oh, you don't know you guys, but this is big.
Yeah.
Yes. And one more take on all this.
Yes.
The Wolves might have actually lucked into the perfect situation. You know, Taylor isn't going to move the team.
Yeah.
You know, he's not going to blackmail people for a new arena. You know, he's okay just upgrading Target Center as we go. And A-Rod and Lowry, what I'll give them credit for is they came in and wanted to be aggressive and wanted to upgrade the basketball operation. So they pushed for the hiring of Tim Connolly, which has led the Wolves to where they are now. Now you have Connolly in place with an owner who doesn't want to move the team or blackmail us for a new arena. So in a very strange way, the Wolves might have aced this situation.
Yeah, I can't remember who said it. Somebody had said on, maybe it was Marnie Gellner, somebody was saying, look, maybe the trio is what we needed. You need a little bit of old school with a little bit of new school. Look how successful they've been working together. But
if
we
they
all
can
know,
remain successful working together now after this bad blood, that's kind of arisen.
And that's the fun drama. Will it happen?
See, I don't like drama.
Oh.
I don't watch Housewives.
I'm the Minnesotan here, Dawn. Come on.
Oh, that's true.
Stir the pot.
Yes.
Let's have some fun.
The passive aggressive.
Yes.
Sit back, get that tea, like come with the frog.
Let me just,
and just sip it.
Eat my stadium popcorn and watch it all unfold.
Well, let me tell you, ever since I've been here, Minnesota has not been at a loss for drama.
No.
Oh, my God.
No.
So
what
it's
a market. I mean, really, seriously, what a market to work in. We all know this. What a market to work in. We have all the sports at all levels, and we have all the drama all the time. And it's not like this everywhere.
No, that is so true. I can tell you that. I was in Chicago for 5 years, and even that 5 years, there was not half the drama.
No, that's because we have every team.
Teams.
We have every team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they have two.
I'm going to let you guys continue the conversation.
Jimmy, thank you.
Hey, I want to remind everybody we're coming to you from the Aquarius Home Services Studio, and we want to thank Rudy Luther Toyota.
Ready for a women-forward car dealership? Rudy Luther Toyota empowers their many women on staff in sales, management, and service. Whether you are looking for a new Toyota or pre-owned vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota has something for everyone. Every vehicle comes with a Luther Advantage. 10 cents off fuel and car wash discounts at holiday stations, Luther Advantage warranty, and 5-day return policy on pre-owned vehicles. Located just 5 minutes west of downtown Minneapolis, off 394 and General Mills Boulevard. And they're also hiring. Want to join the team but don't know where to start? Visit RudyLutherToyota.com today.
And once again, thanks to our newest sponsor, Beta Bay Boat Club.
Beta Bay Boat Club offers a limited number of season-long memberships in our private club and half-day or full-day pontoon boat rentals on Lake Minnetonka. Members have the opportunity to play on luxurious pontoon boats as well as a variety of well-appointed deck boats, speed boats, and offshore boats. Our daily pontoon boats are deluxe, custom-built boats with many amenities and comfortable seating for up to 14 people. Beta Bay Boat Club, Country Club Boating, 24 years in business and voted Minnesota's best 3 years in a row. Please visit us at betabayboatclub.com for more information. We look forward to welcoming you this summer.
Now, I'm going to duck out and get off this phone connection and let Tracy and Dawn carry the show. Thank you both. I appreciate it. Tracy, thanks for coming in, and I'll see you both soon.
Yes, thank you. Enjoy a pimento sandwich.
Yes.
I will. You know your Masters.
I'm a golf girl.
Yes.
I'm very jealous.
Have one for me.
I need a lesson.
Okay. It does not sound good. So you have one for me.
Okay.
It's probably the mint julep of the Kentucky Derby.
It's exactly what it is.
I don't mind pimento sandwich.
If you had a pimento, pimento sandwiches can be good. They're not good here. It's like the only thing the Masters doesn't do exceptionally well. And it's almost like a tradition to have bad pimento cheese. It's like they have the same recipe and I think the same cheese that they had in 1962.
It's like a sourdough starter. They just keep using it.
Exactly right. All right. Hey, enjoy the conversation, guys. Have fun.
All right. Thanks, Jim.
Bye-bye.
Thanks so much. So we're going to do a reset here. If you haven't been listening early at the beginning of the show, Tracy Pearlman, executive producer from CCO Television. And not only is she a guru in my mind, where she produces life. Not only TV shows, life, but also in the sports department. And, you know, you wear many hats. Yeah. And I like to celebrate women who are in the sports world. But you also, I've dipped my toes in the news for about 3 years, I think it was. We did a Friday night, Friday show called, The Five. So I was anchoring news for a little bit in addition to sports. But sports has always been my forte. And you're not only a fan, but you're working in it. And you have to do the strategic parts of sports that maybe a lot of our listeners don't understand what you do. So if you want to tell us, let's start for the sports department first, because things don't get done without Tracy Pearlman at CCO Sports. I know that.
Well, thank you. I've been at CCO. This week marks 15 years.
Wow. Congratulations. CCO.
Thank you.
When's your actual date? Your anniversary?
The 20th.
Nice. Yeah. Congrats.
So, thanks. Yeah. So that's weird and crazy. Because
you're
been
only
there that long.
20.
I'm 21. I know. It's so, they really took a chance on me.
They did.
They really did. I hope it's paid off. So for the last 5 years, I've been an executive producer overseeing our news and sports department. But before that, I was I did a lot of field producing and producing for sports. So that basically means I put together the stories, I go and interview the players and people, write it all. And then at the time, it was Mark Rosen would read it and track it. And he's been super encouraging my whole career. I was a fan and was able to turn it into something much more. Now my role day to day, because we have Maxie, Ren, and Elle in the sports department, plus Tom Reither, our photographer, my job is really much more of an administrative supportive role. So I joke, I'm just their secretary, but they know I do much more than that too. But that's kind of the easy way to say it. So I do, the logistics, what's happening where, what team do we need to be live at, who has credentials for what photographers need to get there, how are they getting there, how do they get into there? So I do a lot more of that. And then I also do all of our specials. So anytime there's a pregame special or any sort of opening the Twins home opener this last week, I was out running point for 12 hours at the ballpark, which was super fun. I saw
your social media on that from France. I was like, FOMO.
Yeah. It was very cold Thursday morning and we were sitting in the dugout and we're like, could someone please put the benches on? Did you know that the benches are heated in the dugout? For the Twins?
I did not know that. I know the Vikings have heated benches when they're on the, away, when they were away.
When they're away, yeah. So the Twins at Target Field have heated benches and we had them turn them on. So it's like little heated seats like you have in a car. So they put the benches on for us and then we were able to stay warm during our morning live shots. And so that's how much of a princess I am.
Yeah, I was going to say, you got the princess
heated benches,
treatment.
Please. It's really fun. And so my fandom started as a kid. Really with sports, going to games and tagging along with my dad or my parents. We had Saints tickets growing up. We had season tickets. We would go to all the games. And then to be able to turn that into oh, cool, I want to go interview those people. And And then to get into it and to do what I'm doing now is so cool.
Well, Minnesota native. Mm-hmm. We already talked about your alma mater, yes. Right? KU grad.
KU grad.
You recently went back to KU mm-hmm. to really kind of educate, shall we say, some of the younger students. Yeah. So that's always a humbling experience, isn't it?
It was really cool. It's the first time I had gone down in person, but I've done it virtually for a couple years now. And that was really neat to speak in classes that I took as a student. Yeah. Was really cool. And to really explain what a producer does, because no one knows. You know what an anchor is. You know what reporters are. People are pretty familiar with photographers because you see them on TV and you see them out, you know, in the wild shooting stories, but no one knows what a producer does. And so I like to tell people, I pick the stories, I research them, and then I write the words Frank and Amelia say. And I didn't really know what that was until I was an intern.
Yeah.
So, which also was at CCO. So it was just destiny to be here.
So is your 15-year anniversary including when you interned there?
No, when they started paying me.
So you've been there forever.
Yeah.
You are like Rosie.
I am. I know. I just kept showing up. In high school, I had a mentorship with Darcy Polland.
Oh, wow.
And she went to my high school. Love I went to, Darcy. It was Sibley. Now it's Two Rivers High School in Mendota Heights. We had a mentorship program. So I was basically a high school intern and I would just tag along. Yeah. And then that led to internships and that led to my job. So, it's been 20 years if you count the first time I got a key card into the building.
Wow.
Which is, again, I'm only 21. So it's just incredible how that happens.
Well, let me give you your kudos. And this reinforces that you're only 21. A couple of years ago, 40 under 40. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Hard to accomplish. How did you feel when you won that award knowing, you know, you're forever 21?
I'm forever 21. Yes. Yeah. So that was really cool and very, very humbling because you're sitting in this room with people who are huge change makers in the community mm-hmm. and have a huge influence over, you know, business, financial, there's city leaders in there. And then I'm like, hi, I do TV. And I do feel that responsibility of educating our community, of engaging with them. And so so that was really cool and something I definitely don't take for granted. Whether it's sports and you're sharing the highs and lows or news, like we went through everything with the pandemic and all the unrest, or if it's just everyday safety news, or whatever it is, new restaurants coming to town. It's enjoyable for me and I feel a sense of pride from it. So to get that recognition was really neat. And I had a little cheer squad of my friends there. And so that was really fun to get to celebrate, you know, all of our accomplishments because nothing I do is possible without everybody else doing it too.
You know, I marvel when I first met you years ago, until now. Now we're friends, full disclosure, really good friends. Yeah. But from afar, when I was first meeting you, I'm like, when does this girl sleep? Like, when does she sleep? You are in that pack where I look at Andrea Yock, I look at Vanita, and Nadine Babu. I'm like, I know them.
Yeah.
They're my friends, but I will turn on social media or something, or I'll get an email from, and I'm like, they're where? They're doing what? They were over here. So I don't, what is your secret?
I sleep on airplanes. Oh, that's my one time. No, I only post the fun stuff. I only post the stuff that's fun to share. I'm mm-hmm. home a lot at night, not doing a lot. And no one wants to see me sitting on my couch doing the New York Times crossword puzzle. So I post the fun stuff, and I like being out.
But the fun stuff's every night. I doubt that your couch is sat on a lot.
Some nights. But I'm a yes girl. I want to spend time with people. I want to show up and support them. I want to go out and experience things. So I have a hard time saying no. And then when I crash hard. You know? And then I go into a hole and no one sees me for 4 months. I like being out. I'm a very extroverted introvert. I do like my downtime and all that, but no, it's fun. And isn't that what social media is for, is to share the fun stuff and not a braggadocious way?
Yes. Yes. That's the key, and not a braggadocious way. Just kind of peel back the curtain. Mm-hmm. And I want to peel back the curtain a little bit because people always ask me, how are you friends with all these people from the other stations? You know, aren't you competitors? Aren't you?
We do our West Side Story dance before we up. Yeah. We start snapping and I can't remember if I'm a jet or a shark, but yeah, no, it's, this is not that kind of market.
It isn't. Well, you know what? I think, especially when it comes to sports, I say sometimes I know the people from the other stations better than I know people in our own mm-hmm. newsroom, because sometimes there's turnover. And then I'm always, if you're out at events, and that's yep. when you see each other. So like for one, like when we were at Green Bay, this is how this does not show up on social media. This is how unglamorous it can be. It's New Year's Eve in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Appleton.
That's right.
We were in Appleton, Wisconsin.
Well, the year before, is that where we were? Appleton?
Our hotel was in Appleton.
Is that where it was when we were in the...
We were in the lobby.
We had to celebrate the new year in a lobby of a hotel at Appleton, Wisconsin, because the restaurant / bar mm-hmm. where we were hoping to get something to eat just closed.
And
before midnight. So we're literally in the lobby, like three of us from different stations.
Yeah. And there's a wedding reception happening next to us, and we're just...
We're like, should we crash it? Drinking
Spotted Cow in the lobby of the hotel. Yeah. But TV is really glamorous, Dawn.
It's super glamorous. And we had to do our little West Side Story dance. Yep. But it is cool because you're in these situations where it's just you and the other stations. Mm-hmm. And you help each other out. If someone's light goes out, like, we'll light yours. Yep. And so people, I think, behind the scenes don't realize that it is kind of a community.
Yep.
Within each other.
Yeah. And not, you know, and especially when you talk about helping each other out, when you see the media scrums in the locker room or before a game, it's not unusual to see Dawn holding five microphones in one hand. Yeah. Your forearms must be just so ripped and toned because their microphones are heavy. And your photographer, you know, is farther back, and some crews are working by themselves. And so you're holding multiple microphones, helping each other out. And it is a little tribe, but we talk about constantly, like, I'm going to be competitive with you. I want a good story. I'm going to want the story that people are watching. But I love when you have a good story, because it's going to just force me to go out and get another good interview too. And I want to see you succeed, because I do believe that rising waters rise all ships.
Yep.
So the better you do competitively, the better I'm going to end up doing.
And there's situations that people back home that may not know that were in the situation you were just describing, in like kind of like the group scrum, nobody is scooping anyone.
No,
this is an availability for everyone, right? So that's in my mind, and we even did this in Chicago before I got here. I'm not scooping anyone. So if someone is way, way in the back and they've got tiny arms, mm-hmm. and I'm right next to the player, when I first got here, I would reach out to try to grab their microphone, and people didn't want to give them to me. Like, what are you doing? I'm like, you're going to miss the sound. Like, well, why would you help me out? I'm like, well, this is what we did in Chicago. Like, because nobody is scooping anyone right here, and you're just going to miss it. You're going to go back, and your boss is going to be mad mm-hmm. that you don't have it because you were way in the back and couldn't get your microphone to the front. So I remember it was kind of a shift in consciousness where people were like, what? Mm-hmm. I go, yeah. They go, no, it's competitive here. I said, my boss isn't going to be mad if you got the same interview that I got in a scrum.
Right.
Different if I give away my scoop and I get a one-on-one with someone. I was going to totally say, different.
You sit, if I see you come out of a practice gym with Carl Anthony Towns and I know you just got a one-on-one, I'm going to be mad.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't like, wanted that.
I don't get that. Where's she going?
Then I'm
going
to turn around and go get Ant. Yeah, right. Yeah. Like, I'm, you know, and so that's where it's fun. And it's fun to see, oh, I wonder how she did that. How can I do it next time? But yeah, no, we're not a weirdly overly competitive place. And also where we're coming from, there's four women who work in TV for the main stations in town. So, you know, we all know each other. There's no reason for me to be rude to you. What does that get me at the end of the day?
Actually, what I love is that we're all supportive.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't wait for Elle to join. I knew that Elle was going to move over into the sports department before it was even time to be announced.
Yep.
And I couldn't be more thrilled. Yep. The way I look at it is the more women that are in sports departments and reporting and anchoring, the better. If you want my advice, I will happily give it. I'm not like one of these people that feel like they have to white knuckle a steering wheel. I don't believe that. I don't believe in it. Years ago when I had some of my interns and they've gone on to network, and I had someone say, why do you do that? Why do you help knowing that they're going to go? I'm like, well, what do you mean they're going to be successful? What if they come and turn around and take your job? And I said, then they've earned that.
Yeah. Then I better step up, huh? Like that's,
I'm not going to not help a fellow woman or a guy. I've had male interns as well. Like Mike Trudell, who's now the Lakers reporter, was my intern in Chicago. I'm so happy. And I think people are now starting to see that women don't have to be competitive with each other. We reach back and we help each other up to that next level.
Yeah. And I think too, that the different, especially like with Ellen, we're talking about Mary L. Mose at WCCO. I love her way of storytelling. Mm-hmm. She brings a different perspective because she didn't come up the traditional route through sports. And I think that that's actually, it shows that good storytelling is good storytelling. And sports coverage isn't about the plays, it's about the people.
Yes.
And that's what she excels at and has brought such a richness to our sports department. Because that's where, in my opinion, that's where you get the really good stuff. That's where you get to the heart of people and what's important and what resonates. So I love that people don't have to, you know, start by just grabbing box scores and working their way up. Like it's a tough area to work in within news because it is such a small niche area. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so there's no reason to be rude and not helpful.
But hopefully I'll get Elle on here because we've had Julia Daniels, we have yourself. So it'll be great to get her in here. I also, when I talked about you not sleeping, I don't know how you do this, but now you are raising funds for LLS and you're a huge campaign. Can you tell people about that? And if this touches anyone's heart out there for the Leukemia Lymphoma Society, or cancer in any way, shape, or form, and you want to help out Tracy, she's gunning for this. She's doing
Please,
it. Tell
yes.
us about it. Well, so it used to be Man and Woman of the Year, but now a better term.
It's
what is
now
it?
Visionaries of the Year.
Visionary.
Yes.
Visionary
so instead of being a 40 under 40, please refer to me as a visionary.
I will bow before
Thank you
every time now.
Thank you. I am bowing before all of these people. I have, as you know, Dawn, philanthropic causes are super important to me. I grew up as a kid who didn't have to beg or ask for anything. I was able to play any sport I wanted, go to summer camps, do all that. So accessibility to me is very important. And I volunteered for a long time at MHealth Masonic Children's Fairview Hospital. And I spent a lot of time on the floors with the kids. And you meet, unfortunately, a lot of leukemia patients. So that aside, I get a cold call from some people at the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society saying, hey, we know you really like to give to philanthropic causes, and we see that this is something that's important to you. Would you, you know, we'd like to nominate you as a Visionary of the Year. Would you like to do that? And I was like, well, okay. I can help people. Let's do it. I've got the time. I've got the resources. And I've got the passion. And the reason why it was so important to me was, again, I am healthy. I am very fortunate to be very healthy. But there's a lot of people in this world who aren't. And a lot of people in our community who aren't. My best friend's mother-in-law is one of those people. She has liver cancer. And it's stage 3. There's 2 very rare forms she's fighting. And she's like, we need more research.
Yeah.
They need to know how to diagnose this. They need to know how to treat it. My friend Alexa Score has had leukemia now for 15 or 16 years. I can't remember when
she's a powerhouse.
Yes. And so when Alexa was a teenager, she was diagnosed and doctors said, get your affairs in order. There's nothing we can do. She ended up taking a trial pill, a chemo pill, that turns out was an LLS funded research project.
Incredible.
This chemo pills kept her alive all these years. In fact, it got her so healthy. She went on to become a professional wakeboarder, one of the top in the world. She went on to work for TV. She's done a bunch of outdoor shows here locally. She's in commercials. She's traveling the world, representing the sport. She worked for the Vikings, all because of LLS fundraisers like this one. So yes. I was like, I can't, how dare I say no when I have the capability to do this. So for 10 weeks, and we're at week 5 right now, we're halfway through, I'm trying to raise at least $50,000 so we can get a research grant. I'm not allowed to say where I'm at.
I'm not going to ask. At least not on this podcast.
Yes. But we have a ways to go. We're doing really well, but we have a ways to go. And, you know, this is not some pie in the sky, your money will be seen someday somewhere. It was really important to me to use the research skills that I have to make sure that your dollars are going to where you want them to go. They're not going to administrative costs. They're going to patient care, to research, and to advocacy. So LLS started in 1949. And since then, 40% of all cancer therapies that have been approved by the FDA were first approved for blood cancer. So if you're going, well, I don't know anyone with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma or leukemia, these treatments go on to help everybody. Breast cancer, bone cancer, prostate cancer, MS, diabetes, and so many other diseases. So the reach that LLS has was so impressive to me. And I could go on and on about the great work that they're doing, but the amount of money that they put from each dollar in is incredible and is what made it worth it for me.
And I think people need to know that, like Alexa's story where, listen, this pill was funded from money that people gave to LLS.
Yeah.
That is a story of my life. This is why I'm alive. When people start realizing that, mm-hmm. right? Because I think sometimes people can be jaded as to, well, am I really making a difference?
Right. And, you know, and there are a lot of really great causes out there. There's a reason why you don't hear about LLS as much. They're not spending the advertising dollars. They're spending it on research grants. 43 states they have helped advance laws in to help with coverage, insurance payments, coverage, and different to make sure that medicines are being paid for. So they're really doing important advocacy work, and helping raise survival rates for people. Right now in the U.S., leukemia patients have a 69% chance of survival. In the 1970s, it was just 34%.
Wow.
So this is stuff that's happening now, and they're being very successful with right now. And every 3 minutes, somebody in the U.S. is diagnosed with blood cancer, which is really scary.
Yeah.
I've been shocked by how many people I know now that are personally touched by different types of blood cancer. I had no idea. I was so unaware.
What events can people... how can they contribute for you or what events? I know that you have a bar class coming up that I have signed up for.
Yes.
I've donated. I'm ready to roll. I don't know what I'm doing. I have not taken ballet since high school, but that's okay.
Yeah. We live in such a great community that every business I've reached out to be like, hey, do you think you could maybe help me? They're like, yeah, what do you need? No problem.
Wow.
And these are not the big corporations I'm reaching out to. These are small, independently owned businesses that are giving up their own profits to help this fundraiser. And so if you don't mind, just for really quickly, Hope Breakfast Bar, the whole month of March, by just selling their matcha dream lattes and potato pancake, scallion pancakes, we ended up raising over $4,000 the month of March just from people going in and eating breakfast at their restaurants.
Wow.
So that is incredible.
Kudos to you on that.
Yeah. They were like, yeah, no problem. What do you need? Sure. Park Taverns donating bowling. We have a bowling party coming up for kids. David Fema gave us a beautiful dinner for eight with tasting menu and wines and Honey and Mackie's ice cream. You can bid to make your own ice cream and have them sell it there at the store. Like, what kind of ice cream would you have them make for you?
Mint chocolate chip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be yours.
I know that sounds boring, but that's my favorite.
They already have that one.
Mint chocolate chip with a dose of Captain Crunch.
Yeah, done.
There we go.
I want a cherry.
Or pizza?
I want like a cherry cookie dough with sprinkles.
Oh.
So I'm going to bid on that. But yeah, we've had some amazing people. But so we have coming up, I've got all these workout classes.
Yes.
So I'm going to be super fit. And everyone can be very philanthropic while they do it. So we've got Bar 3 in Edina is donating all of their classes this Saturday to LLS. So everybody who shows up can make a donation and work out. Gold Fine Jewelry is doing a make your own like bobble necklace bar, which will be really cool. We're getting a portion of those proceeds. F45 in Brooklyn Park and Orange Theory in Plymouth are both doing workout classes for us. I have never done either. So I'm going to be super fit. after this.
Because you're doing all these classes,
all
right?
These classes.
Oh, my goodness.
But we also have a drag bingo night coming up at Roxy's.
Are you dressed
cabaret.
Up in drag?
I haven't decided. I have a sparkly dress I think I'm going to wear. Mm. But they will be doing bingo and drag for us. $10 a bingo card. Great reason to come out on a Thursday night.
And where is this?
25th at Roxy's Cabaret, the Nicollet Diner, downtown Minneapolis. And also shout out Black Heart Trivia in St. Paul. Awesome soccer bar. They're right by Allianz Field. They also do shuttles to Aurora games. Mm. They hosted a trivia day for us, which was so much fun. It was that little March blizzard that came through. But we had a blast.
Which I missed, thankfully.
Yeah. We had an awesome turnout despite the weather scaring some people off.
Oh, wow.
And it was so much fun. It is such a great bar. And like I said, people are just left and right. Yep. What do you need? Oh, one of our favorite spots, Hilltop.
Yes.
In Edina and Nolo's downtown Minneapolis are doing a week, and we haven't decided the week yet, so I will post it. But they're going to do $1 a beer.
Wow.
For us the whole week as a fundraiser. So we're going to have a happy hour there and do some dinners. I've been just so lucky, like I said, that all these places are like, yep, what do you need? We'll help get the word out about what LLS does, and we're going to help you raise some money and just kick cancer's butt.
I love this whole event. I've been thankful to be able to go to two of the celebrations at the end of the year because everyone is polling. Like, yes, there's one person that quote unquote wins, but everyone wins, right? It's one of those celebratory nights when you see like $1 million+ raised for this cause and how everyone is supporting each other. And oh my gosh, Tracy, that's great. You did this because it's all one collective thing. And knowing that the hard work is going for something tangible that you can see is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, and stays here. Like, I love that it's helping people in our community. There are faces to it who you get to meet and talk to. And it's been really, really rewarding. So, of course, you want to win. I'm a competitive person. I don't know how to not do anything full out. And I have an amazing team of people rallying behind me and standing with me who are also very competitive. Mm-hmm. But, you know, whatever we raise is more than what they had. And it's going to make a difference.
Where can people find you? Where are your links?
So the best way is directly through our website. It's tinyurl.com/TPLLS. So tinyurl.com/TP for Tracy Perlman, LLS. That's the easiest way. If not, you can find me on social, Partray. I'm there. So it's been a lot of fun. And like I said, 5 weeks to go, and it's been a full-time job.
It is. That's what I said. When do you sleep? Thank you for taking time out to even come on here with us. I'm like, and I know you're probably bolting right to CCO after this.
I will be heading in. Yeah, yes. I'll be heading in after this. I'm doing our 10 o'clock show today. But it's been fun, but it's been really rewarding. I've do a lot of different fundraisers and help out in different capacities. I've never taken the lead on something like this, but man, my friends who are professional fundraisers, I give them so much credit.
It's so much work.
Yeah. And a lot of brain power. Yes. I mean, it's a lot of, asking, and it's also very humbling. Like I keep joking with my parents, like people must really like me. Like they're sharing my posts online. They're inviting me to come and talk on their podcast. They're, mm-hmm. they're coming to my events and to not only give your time, but to give money, to share your voice. Like that's so meaningful to me. So I appreciate this and everything that you've done to help share the events and, we'll see you at that bar class.
Yeah, that'll be, I'll be the one that, you know, that, picture that goes around social media, it's like, be the girl on the right. Yeah. Like everyone's at the bar and they're nice tutus and there's one hanging upside down. Mm-hmm. That'll be me.
That's going to be us. I can't wait. It'll be fun. There's four classes that morning and I have agreed to at least participate in a small way in all four of them. So I won't be walking next week.
Yeah. No, not at all.
Or have the ability to get out of bed, but, my legs are going to look great.
You're going to be a dynamo.
Thank you.
Yeah. For when you walk up and you win that thing, you're going to be like, look at me. You're going to have the Angelina Jolie slit right on your dress and you're going to stand weird just so we can see
just
that
so you can see my
leg.
Calf. Yeah.
Before you go, I do want to get your prediction as we talked about the sports for the women, mm-hmm. we got to give the men some love.
Yes. And they are tonight and we are very excited for them. So since my KU Jayhawks bounced out of the tournament early, a lot of my attention has been brought over to the women's game.
Yes.
So, and the women were also in the NCAA tournament. They also lost. So that was unfortunate. I feel like I want to go with UConn just because I like Paige Becker so much that I'm going to cheer for the men because of her. And I don't have with Purdue. They kind of do nothing for me.
Yeah.
Maybe that's because I grew up, you know, cheering for the Gophers and a Big Ten girly, but I'm going to go UConn.
Well, and you know, I'm going UConn. People mm-hmm. who listen, who are friends of the program.
Yes.
No, because Cam Spencer, who mm-hmm. is finally getting his national love, Charles Barkley singling him out after the last game. Cam Spencer, he's a spark plug, that's for sure. But, you know, I'm in the auntie club. Mm-hmm. So I have to go with UConn myself.
Yeah. It's fun. This is such a fun time of year. Baseball started. I'm a baseball girly. I can sit and just keep a scorecard at a game and not talk to anybody. And I'm so content for 3 hours.
You were actually so fun to go to the playoff games for the Twins last year with. We had a group of women and it was great mm-hmm. because there were women who knew sports. And I have most of my friends, I like to hang out with women who don't know sports and people don't get it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you don't want to talk about it 24/7. You just, you want to talk about something else. But it's great to go to a game that means something.
Yeah.
Cheer at the right times and just to enjoy it. And we're from all different walks of media, mm-hmm. And in sports here from Minnesota. So it was kind of, it was fun. So I thank you for that.
It was a lot of fun. I love being a fan. Like I'm first and foremost, obviously not when I'm working, I can't have my fan hat on. Cheering in the press box.
On your off time, you can do whatever you want.
I love it. It is fun. It's fun to just get lost in something bigger than you. It's fun to have a common denominator when talking to people. And so I'm a happy girl with some popcorn and Mountain Dew and sitting at Target Field in the sun. I love it.
Well, thank you for joining us. If anyone's out there listening and they want to get into news or sports, if you need a mentor, let me tell you, Tracy Perlman from WCCO is your woman to go to. The most organized person I know.
I do have a color-coded calendar.
Even for her social stuff. I'm like, I don't understand this. Can you just tell me what day you're free? But yes, you're the most organized and most loving and kind. And I'm so humble to professionally know you and also as well to be your friend. So thank you so much. And thank you for doing so much good with LLS.
Well, thank you. And thanks for having me on. And we'll see you at all the stadiums this summer.
Yes, all the stadiums and apparently a bar class Saturday before I go to work. So this should be interesting. Tracy, thank you so much.
Thanks.